Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Pastor Aaron, and I'm the middle school pastor here. And what we're going to talk about today is something that I have struggled with for a long time, and it's my own fault. But to give you some background, my dad is a pastor and has been for my entire life. So for as long as I can remember, my parents made it clear to myself and my sisters that our actions didn't just reflect ourselves, they also reflected them. And so, out of respect for my parents and ourselves, we needed to be on our best behavior at all times. We needed to watch what we said and did because people were always watching. And I did not do this very well. Because when I was in the third grade at church camp, no less, I was walking with our cabin, which is just a group of boys, and me and two other boys thought it would be hilarious if we pulled down our pants and we mooned the rest of the boys. And we did, and it was hilarious. But the one person who didn't think it was hilarious was the camp counselor, because there could have been other people that could have seen us. I got in big trouble. Fast forward, and I'm in middle school, again, at church camp, oddly enough. And don't know why these things happen at church camp. And I had stolen money from a random kid's bag. I didn't need the money. I didn't want the money. I don't know if I was a little klepto or an adrenaline junkie, but I did. I took it, and I got in big trouble for that. And on almost every Sunday and Wednesday from the third grade all the way up until high school, I had to be separated from my best friend John at church because I would not stop talking to John. It was every week they would have to separate us, and John has confessed to this later. He's been like, no, dude, it was you. You were the one that was talking. I would tell you to stop talking, and you wouldn't stop talking. And he's true. I wouldn't stop talking. And so it was my own fault. But I tell you this for two reasons. Number one is to just say that I grew up in the church, and I did a lot of dumb stuff, and I did a lot of dumb stuff often. And so if you're concerned about someone not being like a bad apple or something, if they're not being a good kid, just know I was one of those bad kids. And now look at me talking in front of you guys right now. Maybe that's why I was called to minister to that age, because I was, you know, one of the worst kids at the time. So I'm able to like emphasize, you know, or you know, just relate to them a little better. And so it's payback from God or something, I don't know. But the other reason that I'm telling you this is that I have struggled, and just to showcase that I've struggled with being a witness or a good example. And I knew what I was supposed to do, and I know what I'm supposed to do, but so many times I want to do the opposite. So like this, like raise your hand if you've ever been stuck in traffic behind somebody who's like really slow, and you just want to like whip it around and come level with them and see who is in the other car in front of you. How many of you, who else has anger problems? All right, amen. So we know what this is like. Some of us are honest. We know what it's like to be a witness, and we know that it's, you know, not always easy to be a witness. Now, this is not a new thing. Paul, one of the main writers of the New Testament, wrote, I don't understand the things that I do. I don't do the good things that I want to do. Instead, I do the things that I hate. Now, I should explain. We're going to use this word a lot today, and the word is witness. And when we use the word witness, we're not talking about the modern version of the word witness, because you'd think of a witness today, you'd think of somebody who saw a crime. They witnessed a crime, and so they're brought forward. That's not really what we're talking about today. Because in the Bible, a witness is someone who has seen or heard something important or amazing. And when they tell others about what they've seen and heard, they are witnessing to them. So that's what we mean when we say the word witness. In other words, when you tell others about Jesus, you are witnessing to them. And we also call this evangelism. And Jesus gave all of his followers a mission or an assignment to do this. He gave all of us an assignment to witness. He said, go to all people everywhere in the world and tell God's good news to everyone. Acts 1:8 says it like this, the Holy Spirit will come to you and he'll make you strong. Then you'll tell other people everywhere in the world about me. So when you tell anyone about Jesus, you are witnessing to them and accomplishing Jesus's mission. But we're supposed to witness to others not just because Jesus told us to, but because we should love them enough to want to share that with them. And a lot of Christians don't really like to tell other people about Jesus because either they are not confident in what they know and they're afraid of what they might ask in response, or because it might be awkward if the other person just doesn't care. But the truth is, we tell people stuff that they don't care all the time, especially those that are closest to them, because we share what's important and what's going on in our current life. So a little over a year ago, I had a few TikTok videos go viral. And over all platforms, across all platforms, they had over 100 million views. And one of them, though, had a like, was liked by Jennifer Aniston. And I was like, what? Like, I was like completely shocked. I had to tell everybody. I'm talking, I was at Popeyes and I was this close to pulling out my phone and showing the cashier, because I was just, I wanted everybody to know, this is crazy. Are you kidding me? Like, I used to watch her on TV and now she watched me on her phone. That sounds so crazy. I wanted to tell somebody that something that had been happening in my life. And we do this, all of us, we do this. We tell, when we tell people stuff that's happening in our life, even if they might not care, but we just do it because it's something that is happening in our life and it matters to us. But for one reason or another, Jesus seems to be left out of the things that we share. And I think that a lot of us do this because we're convinced that the only way someone will give Jesus a chance is if somebody beats them in a debate. If they convince them in a debate, that's the only way that they will follow Jesus. And while it can happen that way, most of the time it happens through another form of witness. It's not just a let me tell you about Jesus type of thing. And I've not talked about it so far, but it's community, witness as a community. If you were to walk out of this room on either side, when you leave, it's going to be impossible to miss. On the wall, there is a big sign with four pillars on it. And the four pillars read, invite into community, engage with God, claim your identity, and make an impact. And they were specifically placed in that order for a reason. Because we believe that most people who don't know Jesus are more likely to give him a chance if they're invited by somebody that they know, someone personally, someone that they have a relationship with first. So community is first, then hopefully they will engage with God, claim their identity, and make an impact. But most of the time, it starts with community. So how do we witness as a community? Well, when you tell anyone about Jesus, you are witnessing to them. But there's another way to witness that happens a lot more often. Even if you're not aware of it, you're doing it right now. And that is witnessing to others by your actions, by what you do. So a more complete definition of what witness means is telling others about Jesus and showing them his love by our authentic actions. In other words, how you live is super important. And I get it. As Christians, we're hyper aware of the unpopularity of Christianity, especially in today's world. We don't want to annoy someone or maybe just bother them by talking about Jesus, because how do you even bring up Jesus in a normal conversation without it looking like that was your plan the entire time? Like you were just waiting for them to stop talking so you could ask them for money or sell them a timeshare. I understand. But the truth is, witness is about being authentically Christian all the time. We're not just faking it to make a good impression. We're not just coming in here, putting on smiles when we're here on Sunday and then leaving and being the worst person ever. We are authentic. We're being real. We're being who we really are. And the good news is that we don't have to witness to others alone. One person that will help us is the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, which we just read, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come to you and he'll make you strong. Then you'll tell other people everywhere in the world about me." John 14:26 says that the Father will send the Holy Spirit to be with you. He'll teach you and help you to remember everything that I've told you. Luke 12:12 says that the Holy Spirit will teach you and he'll tell you what words you should say. It's repeated many times. That's just a few examples, but it's repeated many times in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit will help us witness to others, help us tell others about Jesus. But the question that we really need to start with is, am I authentically Christian? Am I who I say that I am? And if not, then that's something that we need to work on. James 1:22 says, be careful to do what God says. Don't just listen to it. So if you'll remember at the start, I gave you just three examples of times in my life where I was not being authentically Christian. And I would be lying to you if I said that that was it. Because truthfully, there are a lot more of those moments that happen all the time. But what I don't want us to do is get hung up on the wrong that we've done and miss the mission that we've been given. I'll say it again. I don't want us to get hung up on the wrong that we've done, the bad stuff that we've done, and miss the mission, the task that Jesus has given us, and that is to tell others about him, to witness to others. And to clarify, when I say the word authentically Christian, I don't mean that you're perfect, because if you're authentically Christian, does not mean that you're perfect. Being authentically Christian just means that you are first and foremost a follower of Jesus in every situation and circumstance. That means whether you're at home and the kids are annoying you, or you're at your job and your coworkers are annoying you, or you're at a football game and your team is annoying you because they're losing, you are a Christian. You are a representative of Jesus, and it's good to be reminded of that from time to time. But even if you're still working on that, even if you're still working on being an authentic Christian, we can also witness to those around us. Because witnessing is telling others about Jesus and showing them his love by our authentic actions. 1 John 3:18 says that we shouldn't show love for each other only by what we say. We should also show love by the things that we do. And now we come to the most important part of the message. How you live is more important than what you say. Because how you live will show if you're authentic or not. How you live will either help or hurt your ability to witness. Just like when I was growing up, I didn't just represent myself. I also represented my parents. We are not just representatives of ourselves, we also represent Jesus. We are all the time representing Jesus everywhere that we go. Now, I'm going to be honest. This is a very hard and overwhelming conversation. This idea of always needing to be on our best behavior, so to speak, and always telling other people about Jesus. And so for that reason, a lot of us have just kind of not taken seriously this mission to tell other people about Jesus, because it's like, I got to tell everyone about Jesus, and I don't even tell one person about Jesus, so I'm going to tell none person about Jesus. And so we stick to ourselves and we don't tell others about Jesus. But if that has been the way that we've acted, I ask that you would just hear me out, because we're going to simplify this idea. Instead of focusing on everyone and telling everybody about Jesus, what if we made it just one person, just one person, and we called this person the one? And we have a saying at this church that this idea of focusing on one person is being for the one. And in fact, it's in big bold letters on the back wall. And you probably, if you were here at the start of the service, we showed a little intro video where it talked about being for the one. And this one that we're talking about, here's some of the criteria of what makes this person a one. They are not a Christian, and they are someone who lives close enough to you in proximity that you can spend time with and experience life together. And over the course of time, we will love on that person, we'll pray for them, we will witness to them by what we say and do. And I know that this kind of sounds like this person is a project, because our goal is for them to believe in Jesus. It's for them to find out about Jesus and believe and then follow them in their own faith. And that is our goal. We do want that. But the origin, the reason behind why we're doing this is not selfish. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're not telling others about Jesus because of us. We're doing it because we love that person. And we want that person to know Jesus. We want them to know about the love of Jesus. Remember, we're supposed to witness to others, not just because Jesus told us to, but because we should love them enough to want to share that with them. So we're not going to be bashing them over the head with a Bible. We are going to be loving that person. We're going to do life with that person. We're going to go to dinners with them, play sports with them, spend time with them. It takes time. We're going to witness to them by being authentically Christian all the time. And this is not a sprint. It's a marathon. We are in it for the long run. And that's hard, because it's hard for us to spend time on something that we're not sure it's going to go anywhere. We're not sure that any change is going to take place, because we don't know if that person will really ever listen, if they'll ever believe in Jesus. And since we don't like to waste our time, let's look at what the Bible says about how long should we care for somebody before we just, you know, call it quits because they're not getting it. Well, this actually, there's a couple different answers in the Bible. They're all the same, but a couple of them we've already talked about today in Bible verses, and they are Mark 16:15 and Acts 1:8. And Mark 16:15 says, "Go to all people everywhere in the world and tell God's good news to everyone." And then Acts 1:8 is, "The Holy Spirit will come to you and he'll make you strong. Then you'll tell other people everywhere in the world about me." And it's hard to catch unless you're looking for it. But there is no end to this mission. There is no end to you caring for other people. Jesus didn't say, "Go to all people everywhere in the world and tell God's good news to everyone," unless you don't think that they're going to listen to you, and then in that case, just do nothing, I guess. That's not what Jesus said. We're supposed to do this because we love that person. And we're not doing this for ourselves. This is not for us. We're doing it for the love of that person. I have a friend named Morales. And Morales is sitting up right now because he heard his name called. But Morales, before I had even met Morales, before I ever met him, I knew his wife. And Leslie would come to my life group. And Leslie would come alone. And she would tell us about her husband, Morales. And she said that he was a professional boxer and in the military, and that he had no desire to come to church. And because I had never seen him, just those words alone made me think he was like a big, scary-looking dude. And so I was a little bit nervous, honestly, when she was telling us about him. Fast forward a little bit. Morales still hasn't come. We do a worship night with our life group, where we got together, we sang together, and we prayed for each other. We prayed specific prayers for each other. And many of the things that we prayed for that night, many of those prayers were answered. And one of those prayers that was answered was Leslie's prayer. Leslie's prayer was that she wouldn't be so angry all the time. She said she just has this anger built up, and she wishes that she wasn't so angry all the time. Two or three days later after the worship night, she texts our group and says, "You know, God has answered my prayers. I miraculously am not angry all the time. Things that used to cause me to just explode, I'm able to just calmly deal with." And this quickly caught the attention of Morales. Morales saw this change in Leslie, and for the first time, Morales was kind of open to this idea of church. But I'm going to let Morales tell you his story.
So I started coming to this church. Well, actually, that's a lie. My wife started coming to this church.
First, it was rocky because my husband did not want to follow Jesus.
Constantly invited me, and I just was not having it. I'm like, "No, I'm not going, I'm not going, I'm not going."
I was like, "Honey, look at this. It's so exciting." And he'd just be like, "Oh, well, don't tell me you're going to be one of those people. Just a church person and trying to be like the whole Jesus stuff, and he was just being ugly. Being ugly towards me and my new journey with God. So
I had no desire to come to this church at all. And I finally caved in to come. I didn't like any of the pastors. Like, and here's the worst part. They all were so nice to me. They were greeting me greeting me at the door. I mean, I didn't want to like any of them. Like, I had no reason not to like anybody except Pastor Christy. She was so nice. But other than that, like, I just didn't want to like any of them, like, for no reason at all. Like, anything they said did just rub me wrong, and I had no reason for it. And then Pastor Aaron, one day I came to church, and he's like, hey, man, come get lunch with us. I was in shock. I'm like, well, why? Why? We went to lunch. They didn't talk to me about anything about church. They just wanted to get to know me. And, you know, fast forward, I started getting more into the Word and following the church. And, you know, they started to grow on me. And I tried so hard not to like Pastor Cat. I tried so hard. And then one day I had this insane encounter with the Holy Spirit again. And I was just filled with love. And I was quoting scripture. And I had no idea what was going on. I was panicking. I didn't know. I ran to Pastor Nate, and he sat there for hours and talked to me about what was going on. And I explained to him. And from there on, I just felt the family. I just felt like a family member at the church, and it just grew on me. I mean, everybody looks out for me. They come, they look out for our my family. They treat my family like it's their own family. Pastor Aaron asked me to volunteer. I was like, me, man, of all people. And it's just been just an amazing experience and a beautiful journey that God provided for me to be part of this church and grow with my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I just, it's something that I love to do now. And the reason behind this part is the church that helped me out so much with growing spiritually. And it's just a beautiful thing, and I just open my arms and invite everybody to come try it out.
Now, Morales doesn't know this. Well, he does now because he's here right now. But Morales was my one. He was my one person to minister to witness to. And Morales found Jesus because of a community of witnesses. You heard it straight from him. He was looking for reasons to say no. He was looking for reasons to say no to church, no to Jesus. But everywhere that he looked, he saw people in our church being authentically Christian. And this leads me to our final two questions. Are you authentically Christian, and do you have a one? Remember, authentically Christian doesn't mean that you're perfect. It just means that you are first and foremost a follower of Jesus in every situation and circumstance. We're not faking it. We are being authentic. We're being genuine. We mean it. We mean what we say and what we do. And so it is good for us to be reminded of that from time to time, that we are representing Jesus. So are you authentically Christian? And even if you're still working on being authentically Christian, we can witness to the one. We can witness to our one. And then lastly, do you have a one? If you don't, my encouragement to you would be to pray about it. Ask God to either reveal or bring into your life someone for you to witness to. For me, it was Morales. I hadn't even met Morales. When we had first started talking about this idea of For the One, I didn't have a one, and I hadn't even met Morales. And then after meeting Morales, I realized Morales is the one. He is my one. And so some of you sitting here right now, you have had someone come into your mind, someone that meets the criteria of the one. Someone who is not a Christian, someone who lives close enough to you that you can spend time with and experience life together. And again, I need to emphasize that it's going to require effort. It's going to require energy and time. But just like everything that matters in life, requires those things. This requires those and is so worth it. It's so worth it for them to have even a chance to learn about the love of Jesus. Amen? And so it's worth it for us to witness to them. And the bottom line is that we're not supposed to just witness to others because Jesus told us to, but because we should love them enough to want to share that with them. You don't have to quit your job to witness to other people. You don't even have to tell them that they are your one. You can just start witnessing to them by what you say and do. And all the while remembering that how you live is more important than what you say. So live authentically Christian. Let's live all the time like we're representing Jesus. You don't have to quit your job to witness. You don't have to become a pastor or a missionary to witness, to tell other people about Jesus. You can do it right now, right where you're at your current job, wherever you are. You can do it right now, and all it starts with is one person. Just witness to one person. Start with being authentically Christian, find your one, and witness to them. Amen. Let's pray, and then Pastor Nate has got some stuff to share with you guys. Heavenly Father, I pray that this idea of witnessing would not just leave from this room and leave our minds. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to find our one, to find someone for us to witness to be an example to, and to tell about the love of Jesus. Lord, encourage us. Help us not to get in our own way or in our own minds. Lord, help us to have a sense of peace. Send your Holy Spirit to help us. Encourage us as we continue to tell others about Jesus. Lord, we ask all of this. In your name we pray. Amen.